Them up to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, I want to start with verses 6 through 11 here. Listen up, pay attention. If you have a pencil and paper, just write down what the Holy Spirit illuminates to you, because those are the points that the Holy Spirit is directly speaking to you, right? Proverbs 6, 6 through 11. It says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, so shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man." Now, go with me to Proverbs 30. As many of you know, I love the book of Proverbs, as we're talking about it on Wednesday night, right? Hallelujah. Proverbs 30. I was going to joke around and send out a text this morning and say, due to the beautiful weather, service is canceled. Because I know a lot of you thought, why are we canceling Wednesday night? So I thought I'd say, because of the beautiful, it was just a joke. All right, Proverbs 30, 24 through 28. It says, "There are four things which are little on the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer. The rock badgers are a feeble folk, yet they make their homes in the crags. The locusts have no king, yet they all advance in ranks. The spider, skillful..." Someone got that kingdom key right there. I love it. "The spider skillfully grasps with its hands, and it is in king's palaces." Now, today I want to talk about a topic that I guarantee you would never think that I would preach on, all right? But today I want to talk about ants. Can I talk about ants today? That's right, ants, A-N-T-S, ants, all right? Not Aunt Bessie, I'm talking about ants, those annoying little things that crawl on the ground, right? Specifically, I want to give you several characteristics about ants that we need to have in our own life. The title of my message is simply this: Life Lessons from Ants. Sounds goofy, but there's some kingdom keys stuck in here, so get ready. The ant is a very interesting and intriguing insect. So much so that the Word of God even mentions them in a few of their characteristics in the Word of God there. So I want to go deeper than those few things, all right? I did a little research, and it's very interesting. I want to go a little deeper and more than those few things and give you some more characteristics that we need to consider, that we need to put into practice in our own life. Now, the Word of God says this. It says, "Consider the ant and her ways and be wise." So, obviously, God is revealing to us that the ant is wise in their ways and that we should have that same characteristic or a lot of the characteristics that an ant has in our own life. Are you following me? The Word of God, it doesn't mention every characteristic, like I said, but the Holy Spirit is telling us to observe it. Take a look at it. Research it. Look into the ant and pick up some life lessons from the ants. So let's get into this very interesting life and characteristics of an ant. The ant is one of the most laborious insects in existence. Now, what am I talking about by laborious? I mean this. Ants are not lazy. Say lazy. They love to work, but they love to work, ready, with purpose. They work with purpose. This is one of the main points that the Holy Spirit is trying to get across to us, is that they love to work, but they do it with purpose. The Word of God has many warnings, if you will, about the topic of laziness. Say laziness. One very important one is this. If you don't work, you don't eat. That's a pretty big one, right? Because we got to eat to survive, right? All right. Now, so you got to understand this. We serve a God of purpose. Oh, say purpose. The most fulfilling thing that you can do in your life is to live a life of purpose and to be a blessing to the kingdom of God and to people everywhere you go. That's how you're going to live a fulfilling life on this earth. Jesus said it this way. He said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." What's Jesus talking about? He says, when you give yourself, when you give your time, when you give of your substance to others, you're going to be blessed. You're going to have a fulfilled, a joyful life. Some of the most miserable people I know are hoarders, and they don't help other people. And the most joyful people that I know, they're givers. They're givers of not just money. Givers of their time, givers of an ear sometimes. How many of you know sometimes we just need someone to give us an ear to listen to what we're going through? Amen? The Word of God is very clear that laziness will invite poverty or lack of needful things into our life. But listen to this, but there's another side of the coin. Say, there's another side of the coin. See, it's one coin, but there's another side of it. But also, not seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not honoring the Lord with the first fruits of your increase, will open a door for poverty in your life, no matter how busy or energetic you are. Now, listen to this. Your life will be like a bag with holes in it. Anybody ever feel that? Like, man, sometime in your life, you felt like it was like a bag with holes. Whatever you get, it falls out, and you never have enough of the needful things in life. Your life is like a bag with holes in it, but our heart must be set on the Lord for those holes to be closed up. We must use wisdom, and we must make wise use of our time and energy. Again, you can do you can do good things, but if it's God not telling you to do it, you're spinning your wheels. I don't know about you, but I don't want my life to be like a bag with holes in it. I want to be profitable. I want to be profitable with everything I put my time and energy and substance into. Amen? Go with me to Proverbs chapter 10. We're swimming in the pool of Proverbs this morning a little bit. Proverbs 10, verses 1 through 6. Oh, get ready. I got some revelation bombs to throw down on you today. Proverbs 10, 1 through 6. And it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he casts away the desire of the wicked. He who has a slack hand," underline slack, "he who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the," underline it, "diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked." What I want to pull out of all that is that a slack hand becomes poor, and the hand of the diligent makes rich. Now, I'm not talking that you're going to be, an Elon Musk in finance. I'm not talking about that, okay? Because, listen, compare even a person who's kind of poor in this country is rich compared to other countries. You get that, right? But listen to this. There's wisdom that the Word of God's trying to pass on to us. A slack hand or a lazy person misses out on opportunities that will bring gain and profit into their life. Are you understanding me? Listen, diligent people, say diligent. Diligent people are extremely focused and have sharp discernment and perception. Are you ready for this? To spot opportunities and take advantage of them. A lazy person with a slack hand might see the opportunity, but they're too lazy to take advantage of it. How many times has anybody here, you ever tried getting a family member or a friend, you tried to get them a job? You had one lined up for them. Great paying job. Man, this was going to be their turnaround, and they turned it down. Hello? Go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 through 20, I want to take a look at. So this message just isn't all about ants. I'm throwing some other stuff in here too. All right. Deuteronomy 8, 11 through 20. It says, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, you have built beautiful houses and dwell in them. And when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up," it's talking about pride, "and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, in which were fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you, and to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart," here's where they go wrong. This is where people, Christians, when they get prosperity, this is where they go wrong. Are you ready? "My power and my might of my hand have gained me this wealth." Listen. "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is in this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so shall you perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God." There's so much that we could pull out in this passage, but here's what I want to zoom in on right now. Verse 18 reveals this, that it is the Lord that gives us, the Christians, believers, those in covenant, power to get wealth. Why? That he may establish his covenant. Not that because you're good. Hello? It's for him to establish his covenant in your life. Amen? Now, this was written under the old covenant, but that is still active today under this. By the way, it's new and what? Better covenant. So God's not going to take away a blessing that was in the old and not put it in the new. Hello, somebody. The point is, God wants to bless you. We got to get out of this poverty mentality. Come on. Oh, we're slaying some sacred cows up here today. Listen to this. This is very interesting. The Hebrew word that it's translated power means this. Are you ready? It's defined as vigor, strength, force, substance, capacity, or ability. In other words, God has given us all, as Christians here, the vigor, the strength, the force, the substance, the capacity, or the ability to get wealth. You know what wealth is? More than what you need. more than what you need. Why? So you can be a blessing to other people. Now, follow me here. I want you to notice this. I want you to notice that the Word of God says He gives us power to get wealth. Say get. That one word is so important right there. To get, this means that you must do something to get it. You have to put an effort. You have to put energy in to getting it, to bring it into your life. In other words, it's not just going to fall on your lap. You're not just going to look at your bank statement one day and see, wow, $1 million got put in there. Uh-uh. He gives us power to go get it. Say, I got to go get it. There must be some kind of an action. It's not just going to drop on you. This is what you got to understand. This is why I say this. Everything with God is on purpose. It's not by accident. But we must do it the righteous way. Amen? That's birthed from a God-given ability. God's not going to help you with things that are unrighteous. You got to do it God's way. Amen? So listen to this. So we possess the energy, the ability, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit to get wealth, but we must use that energy. We must release that energy to go and get it. Now, it is interesting. Now, part of that going to get it, getting it, includes prayer too. I mean, right? Putting time and energy into prayer, right? You do that, there's been amazing breakthroughs where money and things that you have need of have come into your life, right? Anybody have a testimony of God's faithfulness on that? Amen. Come on, amen. But it's interesting, when I was reading this, what jumped out to me was this. The Holy Spirit revealed this. It's interesting that one of the definitions of power is substance. Say substance. Immediately, the Holy Spirit brought up Hebrews 11:1, the definition of faith. Faith is referred to as substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. So here's what the Holy Spirit said to me. Are you ready for this? Not only do you need to utilize your energy by doing something, you need to also utilize that same energy. Are you ready? To believe something. Oh, come on, somebody. Some of you are doing a lot of stuff, but there's not a lick of faith on the inside of you. You got to believe and do. Faith without works is dead. Amen? You can do works without faith. But you can't have faith without works. Hello. So you got to put your energy into not only doing something, you got to believe it. You got to believe that God created, like this sign says out here, you were created to be blessed. This is, listen to this. This is why laziness negatively affects every area of our life. It shuts down or it blocks out the energy that you possessed that could be used. Come on. To get wealth. I don't know if there's or not, but God's a prosperity God. He is. He wants you blessed. He wants you to have all your needs provided for and then some. He wants to make you, like I say it all the time, a sign and a wonder. To be able to bless people, to advance the kingdom of God. Now, so laziness, listen to me, laziness affects and blocks off the energy physically causing you to do nothing. But it blocks off your energy, ready? Mentally and emotionally in your soul as well. Oh, come on. One Wednesday night, how many of you remember on a Wednesday night when I was praying in tongues and all of a sudden I kept talking about the Holy Spirit giving me prophetic words about harnessing our energy. Harnessing it for the right thing, for righteous things. This is a continuation of that prophetic word that I was speaking. Listen, that is why poverty is not just a physical curse, but it's a mental and an emotional curse as well. The poverty mindset is a spiritual curse at the root. It is. It's a spiritual curse. God did not create you and I in his creation to live in poverty or lack. Do you know where poverty came into play? After the fall in the Garden of Eden. You know that, right? Was the fall the will of God? Absolutely not. So everything that came after the fall, all the negative stuff, is not the will of God either. Oh, some lack. See, light bulbs going out in the spirits of y'all here. Now, listen. So, you need to understand that Jesus said this. He said the thief comes, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. The enemy wants to drag you into lack and poverty and hard times. The enemy is against everything that God is for. So if the enemy wants to drag you down, if the enemy wants to take you into lack, then you know the will of God is the opposite of that. Oh, now here's, listen to this. Are you ready for this? The only time, no, you got to get this, because this dead religion has fed this to so many people. Listen to this. The only time that God talks about taking something out of our life, are you ready? Is when it becomes an idol in our life and an open door to the enemy. That's the only time God talks about taking something out. Listen to this. God takes stuff away that becomes a danger or a threat in our life, in our relationship with him. So do you see the difference between the operation and the purpose of Satan's taken away and God's taken away? God takes away for our benefit. Satan takes it away for our destruction. Hello, somebody. You got to drill that into your spirit. You got to drill that into your soul right now, or else you're always going to walk around with a poverty mindset. And I'm not just talking poverty mindset financially. Poverty mindset affects every area of your life. It affects your identity of who you think, who you believe you are. Again, let me say it one more time. God takes things away for our benefit. Satan tries to take good things out for our destruction. Why? Because he wants less. He wants us to have less to be able to advance the kingdom of God. He wants us to have less to be able to bless everybody around us. The Word of God warns us that when the wealth comes, he says, stay humble, give glory to God for it, and use it for righteous purposes, or it will lead you down a very dangerous path. You want to know where that path might lead to? Forsaking the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the danger that it could lead to. Once saved, always saved? That's trash. You can lose your salvation. You better believe it. Go to Proverbs 3. Proverbs chapter 3. You getting anything out of this? Man, if you could take one thing away from this, God takes things away out of our life for our benefit. Satan takes it away for our destruction. Oh, I mean, that's just there. We could have the altar call right there, but I'm not going to. Now, Proverbs 3, 5 through 10. Ooh, Holy Ghost is dropping some powerful wisdom on us this morning. Proverbs 3, 5 through 10. We all know this, don't we? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Usually we just stop right there. Yeah, that's good enough. Yeah, let's keep going to verse 10. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and the first fruit, and with the first fruits of all your increase. We serve a God of increase, amen, of good stuff. All right, verse 10. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. So we heard it today. We even in the prophetic words, we heard it today. When I heard the prophetic words, I'm like, oh, okay, Holy Ghost. I'm obviously hearing from you on what to preach, right? Now, we are commanded to honor the Lord with our possessions. And it says with the first fruits of all of our increase. You know what that really means? It means this, that God should be number one in your thought life. Anytime you get increase, the first thing you need to say is, God, what do you want me to do with this? How can I bless your kingdom? Oh, come on, somebody. That's what it means to honor him with it. It means you're thinking about him first. Say, I got to think of God first. God's not opposed to you having other things, but you honor him with that first fruit by saying, God, what do you want me to do with it? Oh, that's so good. That is rich. So why? So that we will be filled with plenty and even an overflow. Say overflow. Now, I don't know about you. I'm not an English major. But I don't see poverty and I don't see lack anywhere in the wording of this passage. I see blessing. So we must maintain the belief and mindset, again, that we were created to be blessed. To believe otherwise, listen to me, it takes a demon spirit and dead religion to deceive Christians. I don't know how much plainer I can say it. Back to the ants. Are you ready? Here we go. The ant is very purpose-driven. They're highly industrialized, and they have a process in place to collect food in the proper seasons. In other words, ants, the wisdom they possess causes them, here's what it causes them to do. This is what wisdom causes them to do, and here's what wisdom causes all of us to do. It causes us and them to be at the right place at the right time, doing the right thing at the right time. Do you know what the common denominator is? Being at the right place at the right time. Amen. Amen. That's what wisdom will cause you to do. To be at the right place at the right time. Amen. Amen. And to have the greatest, the ants, they're at the right place at the right time. In the right season, amen? You don't go harvest in the winter. Hello. In the right season. Why? So their wisdom then causes them, are you ready? To have the maximum amount of profit in their life. The maximum amount. Any problems or obstacles that ants face, they solve it. They overcome it. They don't give up. All right? Like the ants, we must be alert. We must keep our eyes open and take advantage of every opportunity. Amen? As one person says, if you're stuck out in the middle of Lake Michigan, you know, it says, I'm going to believe God, but I'm going to keep rowing too. That's wisdom. Amen? It's like the person who was stuck out on the ocean. A ship came by, right, and said, hey, I can save you. No, I prayed for God to save me. Okay, see you later. Another one comes by. Nope, I prayed. Hello. I'm going to believe God, but I'm going to keep on rowing to the shoreline. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. But any problems they face, they solve it. Amen? Like the ants, we must be people of action. Again, faith without works is dead. Okay? So are you believing God for a breakthrough today? You need to stay close to him in prayer and keep doing the right thing. Keep being a doer of the word of God. Keep living a holy life. And here's what the Holy Ghost said. If you'll just keep doing that, the breakthrough will surely come. It will. It's just a matter of time. And that's why we're supposed to mix patience with our faith. Remember, faith, you possess faith when you don't have the blessing yet. Once the blessing is there, you don't need you don't need motivation. It's already there. Faith is the motivation, listen, to hang tough, to stay strong, to have patience, to know, to believe that I'm going to be a doer of the word. I'm going to continue to live a holy life no matter what's going on around me, and I'm believing that breakthrough is going to come. I'm going to trust the word of God. Amen? When the Holy Spirit gives you an instruction, okay, don't be faithless, don't be lazy, be bold and act on it, all right? Or he also said this, He said, or be wise enough to back off from something when he says to back off. Amen. And sometimes it's not an instruction to go and get something or do something. It's an instruction to get your hand off that thing. I didn't tell you to do that. Amen. We must learn to harness our mental and physical energy for holy purposes. Don't keep spinning your wheels with something the Holy Spirit is not leading you to do. Get the Holy Spirit's mind on the situation and simply obey Him. It's that simple. Be humble enough, if you're wrong about something, to take steps back and say, look, I misjudged this thing. I'm sorry, I misjudged. I was wrong. I jumped the gun. Amen? Anybody heard that? You jumped the gun, right? All right? I've done it many times in my life, okay? Again, sometimes it means to back out of something that he never told you to do in the first place. So we must learn and understand to become people of profit in every area of our life. I know when you hear that word, all you're thinking about is money. Forget about that. I'm not just talking about, it's included, but I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about having profit in every area of your life. So if we're going to understand, if we're going to be Christians of profit, we're going to live a life of profit. Let me define profit for you, okay? What does it mean? Listen to this. Now, it says profit is defined as a financial gain, especially the difference between the amount earned and the amount spent in buying, operating, or producing something, or to obtain, listen, financial advantage or benefit, especially from an investment. Now, obviously, the definition of profit talks about financial, right? But think about it this way. I want you to put that in just one category, financial profit. That's one category. But think about it this way. How you spend your time and energy is an investment. What you think about is an investment. Everything we think, say, and do, come on, is an investment. Everything. You either gain a profit or you take a loss on what you think, say, or do. Anything in your life, go ahead, analyze a couple situations in your life where you had gain and when you had loss. And what you invested in what you think, say, or do, it either gained you something or you lost something. The Word of God calls it very simply sowing and reaping. That's another phrase for talking about some kind of an investment. Say investment. Now, another positive characteristic of ants is that they are very, very community-driven. They're very community-driven. Ants are extremely organized. Say organized. You could say it this way. There's no clutter in their life. There's no clutter in their homes. Everything is very well thought out and organized. Now, listen to this. This is interesting. Marianne posted this, and then last night I said, hey, what are those points about decluttering your life? Get that. She's like, here it is. So I put them in my message. Listen to this. Say declutter. Decluttering your home. Now, these are scientific facts about decluttering your life or in your home, every area of your life, okay? Listen to this. Decluttering your home and life releases dopamine on the inside of your brain. So if you have clutter in your life, guess what it does? It blocks dopamine. Now, some of you are saying, dope? No, I'm not talking about it. No, it's dopamine. Listen, I'm going to clarify this. Listen to this. Say no to drugs, okay? Now, here, listen to this. Dopamine is a neurotransmitter and hormone that plays a crucial role in the brain. Listen to what an increase of dopamine does. Are you ready for this? This is amazing. God's creation is amazing. It influences movement, motivation, pleasure, reward, and learning. And is also, listen to what it also touches. It's also involved in controlling memory, mood, sleep, and concentration. You ever been in a place where it's just nothing was organized and you had a hard time focusing? It's blocking that dopamine, baby. Listen to this. This is interesting. Sleeping, this is scientific. Sleeping in an uncluttered room leads to fewer sleeping problems. Go home, clean your bedrooms out right now. And then come for prayer about sleeping problems. I'm kidding. But no, go home and clean, sure. When I release that dopamine, right? Okay, now listen to this. Being in an uncluttered environment lowers, anxiety and stress. Whoa, baby, isn't that great? Now, listen to this. Spending time in a clutter-free space improves productivity, focus, and mood. That's why a lot of students, college students, right? That's why they have to get out of their dorm because it's a mess and they go to the coffee shop to do their homework. Hello, anybody here? Amen. So declutter your life. Declutter your home. Release that dopamine, baby. Amen. Now, here we go. In everything ants do, they consider the entire community, and there's absolute, listen, unity among them. In everything that ants do, they consider the entire community, and there's absolute unity among them. They work together in an astonishing systems of organization for the greater good. Are you ready for this? Of the community. Can I stop this now? For the greater good of the community. What's interesting is this. The Word of God literally said that ants are not strong, but they are wise, and they unite with each other, and that's how they get a lot accomplished. They're not strong. The Bible even points that out. They're not strong. Listen to this. Science says this. There's no lone rangers among the ants. There's no jealousy among the ants, among the community of ants. And that's how and why they are so effective and powerful. They are very wise. How many of you know it's wise to be in unity with each other? It's wise to try to gain unity among each other. Amen? Now, if you don't believe what I'm saying about the ants, if you don't believe it, just go have a little picnic. Drop a piece of food and watch an entire army of ants march over to it and start carrying your entire lunch back to their community. Right? Those little buggers. They're not strong, but they do it in a wise way. Are you ready for this? Ready? Wisdom is better than strength. The Bible even says that. Work wiser. I don't want to say don't work hard, but you get my point. Work smarter. If you work smarter, you might not have to work as hard to get the same result or a better result. The Word of God talks a lot about the power and strength of unity. Don't ever forget this. Division weakens, but unity empowers and strengthens. And ants, they look out for each other. When they see a weak link in the community, they help out. Amen? Now, listen to this. This is an interesting one that we need to really think about. Ants are fondly attached to the younger ants. Science tells us this, that ants are fondly attached to the younger ants. They will fight to the death to protect their homes, their family, and their community. They will not allow the enemy to overtake their homes, their family, and community without a fight. Say fight. Now I'm not telling you to go out and have a physical fight, all right? Hello, somebody. But what I'm saying is, we as Christians need to have that spiritual motivation to fight, to have that fight in us, to come against the kingdom of darkness, to come against anyone that's cooperating with the kingdom of darkness. Amen? That's trying to destroy our community, trying to destroy our schools, trying to destroy our libraries, trying to destroy our churches. Are you following me? Like the ants, we need to have that protector mentality of the kingdom of God and fellow Christians. So, we need to stand up for that. We must fight this battle with the word of God and prayer. We cannot be silent. We need to make our voices be heard. Amen? Now, there's some Christians, not in Living Waters Chapel, some Christians are lazy spiritual cowards in the spiritual battle that we're in. Amen? We don't want that. We must be protectors and advancers of the kingdom of God with our brothers and sisters in Christ on this earth. Now, think about this. I want to drop this in your spirit. Where you live right now is your assignment. That's your post. And there's some Christians that have been doing a terrible job of it. We need to rise up. We need to be in prayer for our communities and cities. We need to be in prayer. We need to, let our voices be heard. Amen? We need to get involved. Are you still out there? Yeah. But many Christians aren't willing to put in that kind of effort. What is it? It's laziness. Listen, the Holy Spirit said this too. He said, it's a lack of confidence and faith in God and His Word. And it's also the fruit of your heart being filled with the junk of the world. Right? Think about it. So it takes confidence, it takes faith, it takes effort to come against the kingdom of darkness effectively. And wisdom. Say wisdom. So remember, you must possess the mindset of a spiritual soldier, just like what an effective soldier I talked about, right? You must possess the mindset of a spiritual soldier, a mindset of victory before you even go into the battle. Are you following me? Because you can lose the battle before you even start the battle. All right? Here we go. Listen to this. So ants are not only protectors, but they're also mentoring the younger ants. They lead by example to the younger ants. They're very fond of the young. Here's why. Think about how powerful mentoring is in a person's life. Say mentoring. All right. So people, you got to understand this. People must be taught. They must be discipled to be able to put knowledge into practice. That's wisdom. Wisdom is taking knowledge, applying what you know, and doing it. Are you following me? So when you think of mentoring or discipling somebody, think about this. It should not be viewed as just a one-on-one person thing. It should be viewed, this is what the Holy Spirit told me. He said it should be viewed, are you ready? As generational discipleship. It's generational discipleship. What you learn, you are expected to pass on to others, and they'll pass it on to others. It's a domino effect. It's generational discipleship. Amen? If knowledge and wisdom isn't passed on, guess where it dies? With you. We need to teach the younger. We need to teach not only the younger people, but we need to teach the new Christians as well. Some newer Christians, they're doing things that they don't even know is wrong. Because it was accepted in the world, right? I mean, it was accepted in the world, so they don't know any different. So we need to mentor. We need to disciple them. Right? So we need to make our life count. We need to pass our knowledge and wisdom on to others. All right? That's the will of God. And I'm not just talking about Christian spiritual wisdom. I'm talking about knowledge and wisdom in all areas of our life. Some of y'all are good at, you guys are good at some stuff in a secular trade or something. Pass that wisdom on to others. Amen? My mom made a wonderful dessert, right? And so I loved it. It was one of my favorites. And I asked my sister after my mom died, I said, hey, can you make that, you know, what mom used to make? She didn't leave me the recipe. Thanks a lot, mom. She could have passed it on. You getting it? Pass it on to people so that the blessing of that can keep on moving. Amen? Amen. We are all valuable. We all have been through things that we have gained wisdom and knowledge about, good and bad, and we must pass that on to others. You're helping people. Listen, you're helping people avoid the pits that you fell into in your life. And that's a blessing. That's a benefit. Amen? So we as Christians must be protectors of others. But make sure you, listen to this, make sure you have all the facts straight before going to bat for protecting someone. Amen? Make sure, because you've got to be impartial. God requires that we're impartial in everything that we do. Go to Proverbs 16:11. Let me just show you something here. Proverbs 16:11. We have to be impartial, right? That's the holy way of doing things, right? Now, Proverbs 16:11 says this. It says, "Honest weights and scales are the Lord's, and all the weights in the bag are his work." So this verse is telling us that if we are seeing things clearly from God's perspective on a situation, the weights, the considerations on that scale of justice, we need to do it fairly and without partiality. Amen? Partiality is opposed to justice, which will always lead to corruption. And the only example really that everyone would understand is, I can just say one word right now, the Democrats. And we move on. Now listen. Okay, listen. So, listen to this. Ants are very intelligent and wise. And there is one last characteristic that I want to talk about that reveals that intelligence and wisdom in them. Go back with me to where we started. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Verses 6 through 8. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. What a great day today. This was a great service today. Hallelujah. Now, Proverbs 6:6-8. It said, "Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain or overseer or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer, and gathers her food in the harvest." Now, my last point that we need to understand to apply to our life from the ant, say ant, is this. Are you ready? We got to drive this home, all right? That the ant does not need a captain, an overseer, a ruler, or a boss to motivate them to do the right and the wise thing. Oh, hallelujah. Listen to this. We need to possess the motivation for our own life to wake up and live a life on purpose on our own. Amen? Now, listen to this. Now, please, don't misunderstand me, okay? I totally understand that at times, me, myself included, we all need encouragement. Amen? We all need encouragement. We all need motivation from a fellow Christian to lift us up out of the pit of discouragement and despair. I get that. This is my caveat. I get it, right? So, but my point is this. Are you ready? Are you listening? Say, I'm listening. I'm listening. My point is this, that we shouldn't rely on others on a consistent basis to do that for us. Do you know what that's called? When you don't need that on a consistent basis, it means you're spiritually mature. Amen. You're growing spiritually. Amen? Amen? Now, I'm not talking here, but in the past, I mean, there's people where, I mean, they wouldn't even get out of bed if you wouldn't drag them out, basically. There needs to be motivation on the inside of you personally. Amen? So we really need to press in, grab the bull by the horns, and receive the vision of God. We need to receive the plan and the vision of God for our life, the purpose of God for our own life. Don't always rely on prophetic words. No, listen to me. I am a prophetic person. I love the prophetic, probably more than all you out there. But you can't rely. You can't. Some people are frozen until they get that prophetic word, and then they do something. Don't do it, because eventually it could come from a person's flesh, and it's not the will of God for you. And it's going to cause major issues in your life. In fact, when someone prophesies something to you, it should resound in your spirit. There should be a confirmation of what the Holy Ghost has been showing you. Are you following me? So you got to be, that's wisdom. That's some great wisdom right there. Because I've seen people's lives in the past totally destroyed. Because they were going to go do what they thought they felt led to do, but someone gave a prophetic word and they didn't do what they thought they should do. And it ruined their life for a very long time. It's a ripple effect. Amen? Now, so do you want to know who the most powerful Christians are on this earth? They're the ones that can encourage themselves in the Lord. Because you might not always have that encouragement from another brother or sister in the Lord. All right? The ones that, here's how the Holy Spirit put it to me. The ones that don't constantly need to be on. Ready? Spiritual life support. Spiritual. We shouldn't need that. It should be enough motivation ourselves that we're in relationship with our Creator through the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you are special. You have a plan for your life. Now, just the fact that you are here on this earth means that you must be pretty special. Amen. Amen. Yeah. You won the universal lottery, and you don't even realize it. You're rich and you don't even realize it yet. Think about that. Now go with me. Real quick, one last passage, one verse. Proverbs 29:18. Hallelujah. So if you get a prophetic word, it should resound on the inside. It should be some kind of a confirmation, right? If you don't have that, just take that word and do this. All right. God, if that's of you bring it up later on and let me know. Are you following me? All right. You put it on the shelf. Okay? Now, Proverbs 29:18. And it says, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law." So when there is no revelation of your God-given purpose on this earth, when you have no direction for your life, guess what happens? You wander aimlessly. You wander aimlessly. You're constantly getting into something, getting out of something, getting into something, you're playing hopscotch. Amen. There needs to be purpose. There needs to be, boy, I'm getting my aerobics today through the song during praise and worship, that one, Let the Light, you know, it's like, every time that comes on, I'm like, oh, I got to cool it because I'm not going to be out of breath for preaching, you know, I mean. But listen to this. Without direction for your life, you will wander aimlessly. You'll live an unfulfilled life, a life of lack in every area of your life. But with clear spiritual without clear spiritual vision, it's a waste of your spiritual and physical energy. Oh, one thing you don't want to do, as we talked about earlier, don't misguide your energy on what you're not supposed to do. It's a waste of energy. Again, we got to harness that energy, and you need to focus on what God's calling you to do. That's where your power, your strength's going to be at. Amen? If you're not meant to do something, don't get involved with it. Amen? But what you are, focus on it, because your focus, listen, your mental focus, that harnesses that energy. And you're going to make an impact in that area like never before. So listen to this. Ants have a clear vision and purpose with every action they do, like I said earlier. And so everything you think, say, and do must be filled with purpose, with God-given purpose. Amen? When you get revelation from the Holy Spirit for your life, here's what it does. It strengthens your boldness, your conviction, your strength to stand strong, even when every part of your flesh wants to give up and quit in the storms of life. It's that revelation. I preached a message before, the power of revelation or something like that. What gave the disciples such strength in the face of adversity, in the face of danger? You want to know what it was? They had a revelation, and it increased their boldness. It increased their boldness. It increased their energy to say, I'm going to stay focused on preaching the gospel. No matter hell or high water comes, I'm going to do it. And they were very successful at that. Amen? So ideally, say ideally, the only captain, overseer, boss, or ruler of your life personally should be the Holy Spirit. That's ideal. That's the ideal thing right there. He is the one that will give you supernatural revelation and wisdom and direction for your own life. Amen? He is the one that will lead and guide you into all truth, but he needs your cooperation to obey him. He needs you to do this. Ready? And I'm almost done. He needs you to desire. He needs you to desire and be motivated enough to press in to want to have that revelation for your own life. Ask, seek, knock. If you're motivated to do any of those things, he's going to answer. And it takes energy to ask, seek, and knock. It takes laziness not to ask, seek, and knock. It's very simple. He said, ask, seek, and knock, you're going to receive. Very simple. Take the energy that he's given you and use it to seek him. And you're going to get an answer. Now, church, so it's time to be motivated. It's time to be wise and to possess every positive characteristic that God created. Come on, the ant to have. Let's learn and understand the golden keys of wisdom from God's amazing creation, because it's all around us. Amen? Let's stand up in this place. Hallelujah. Life lessons from ants. Hallelujah. Now, if I can preach on ants, we can preach, turn anything into a sermon. Amen? Prayer team, come on down. Now, maybe there's someone in this place, you have never made Jesus Lord of your life. Please, do not leave this place without making him Lord of your life. Come down and pray with one of our prayer team members. And just tell someone today, I made Jesus Lord of my life. Let them pray with you. Maybe there's someone in here today that the message really pricked your heart. You realize that maybe you've been wandering aimlessly in life. Up to this point, you've been wandering. But today, you realize you want that wisdom. You want that revelation. You want to do the will of God. You want to be blessed. You don't want that poverty mindset anymore in any area of your life. Come down and pray with one of the prayer team members. You want to receive the Holy Spirit baptism, speak in other tongues, come on down. They'll talk to you about that. You need prayer for anything else, come on down. Now, is there anything going on? Oh, yeah. So Saturday we have the men's meeting at 8 down in the fellowship hall, and the women's floating fellowship, thank you, from 9 to 10:30 at our house. If you need instructions how to get there, see Marianne. All right, I love you all. Take what I spoke about today and really meditate on it. Let the Holy Spirit enlighten your understanding. All right, love you all. Have a great week. You know where to find me if you need me.